Good morning. It's great to see everyone here this morning. As we, it's a good crowd this morning. It's great. It's good to have everyone here this morning and visiting with us. And we do want to send our greetings to Keith and the girls. And we trust that you'll enjoy the snow. It's colder here right now. Oh, okay. Well, making me eat my words, aren't you? Yeah. Good. If you have not been here with us, we've been going through a series on spiritual formation, and I actually jumped apart because I thought I'd already spoken on it. On some of the spiritual disciplines. We did talk about one of them, but we didn't talk about some of the other ones that were on my list. And so I really appreciated being reminded of that, that we hadn't. And it actually fits in very well because part of it today will be speaking about thankfulness or gratitude. And so it actually fits in with our theme this particular time of year. Thanksgiving, and I hope that you're enjoying your happy Thanksgiving weekend. It's really great when you're on Sunday and you know that tomorrow you don't have to go to work, right? It's one of those things that we all are pretty happy about, and I think that all of us are very grateful to the Lord for what we have. Although there are some of you that are working essential service industry, you know, nurses and things like that. So I'm wondering if they have to go to work or not. So I'm not sure. But or doctors. And yeah, you're always on call, right? And so that's, but for the rest of us, we can enjoy this time. And I hope that you have a good time with friends and family. We are very happy because our kids are home for the weekend. It's kind of weird having the house full again, and so it was especially odd yesterday when things have been so quiet around the house. As we look at spiritual disciplines, we looked at some of the things that we let go. We might come back to some of these things with regard to solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, secrecy, sacrifice, and then some of the activities are study, worship, prayer, fellowship, confession, and submission. Seem some of the, those are spiritual aspects of spiritual discipline. Not all of them are things that we're going to cover. But we came to the point where we realized that it was essentially it's establishing habits. And it's been interesting because without actually realizing, I have been listening to some podcasts. And it's interesting in some other churches around North America, they're actually going through the same, somewhat of the same topics. Even here in Vancouver, there's a church that I listened to the podcast of that church, and I couldn't believe it. It was the same thing. It was spiritual formation, and it's good to listen to stuff because you go, oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that, and certain spiritual disciplines that are in our lives, and that is you know, and we understand what the word discipline means, right? It means that you submit yourself to being, to acting and living with a certain amount of integrity in the things that you do. What does that mean? That you know, you're not getting up super late and going to bed super late. You get up in the morning, you make your bed. Stuff like that, and I hope that you do, you know, and that's something that I've been trying to do, you know, because sometimes you kind of get up in the morning, you kind of leave everything the way, well, no one cares, no one sees it, right, and there's certain things that we just do, or we don't do, and so we can, you know, we can look like we're leading disciplined lives when we're actually not, and sometimes we might not look like we're leading disciplined lives, but we are. And each person has to come to a point of understanding of what it is that really makes you feel that you are living a life that is full and has some purpose. And I'd like to encourage you to, when it comes to your spiritual side of your life, to really establish goals and establish ways that you can actually practice some of the things that I'm talking about. You see, if we don't establish some sort of infrastructure or framework, right? You go to a country where there's no infrastructure, it's a pain to operate there. And I remember when I first moved to the country of Albania, when I was I was quite young, I was in my mid 20s, and I remember it was crazy the way that nothing worked. The infrastructure had fallen apart in the country. And I remember feeling so helpless. You wanted to go and get a license for your car. You wanted to go and I had to go and do some legal things with regard to the Office of Faith, it was called. And there was no infrastructure. It was all to do with bribes, and it was all to do with who knew who. And it was crazy. And it was so annoying and so frustrating, but you know, because you felt like you couldn't get anything done. Well, sometimes we can become like that. We have no infrastructure in our lives. And so on a spiritual basis, and I'm not talking about, you know, cleaning your room and making your bed, you know, that's up to your mom and dad to look after that, or your wife, or, yeah, all the guys say, oh, yeah, I know. And your husband, you know, because that can be, those roles can be reversed sometimes. I'm not talking about those things, but I am talking about the disciplines that are in our lives and those spiritual things that will help us establish an infrastructure and a real root that will shape your life. And that's what we're looking at. Now, we talked the last time about meditating on God's word, and we used certain passages that we took a look at. And I just want to just go over that before we go on to thankfulness or thanks, to give thanks. Now, first of all, with regard to meditating on God's word, let's just go to Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. We looked at that last time, but I just want to remind us where we're at. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. It's an interesting way that the prophet Jeremiah puts this, but I think it helps us understand what is important. Now, Jeremiah was not really the most, probably the most, he's not the sort of prophet from what we can read in Scripture. You'd go, you know, if you want to go have a good time and hang out with someone that's really positive and, you know, upbeat, Jeremiah's not the guy, okay? He was known as the weeping prophet. He was someone who just, you know, he was a bit of a downer. If you wanted to look at it that way. But understand that there was purpose in the things that he wrote. So don't throw the baby out with the bathwater on that one. What you need to do is understand what some of the things that he said truly were to warn, to challenge, to help the people of Israel think. And verse 16 says, your words... verse 15, let's read from there. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and take... Jeremiah 15, verse 15. Remember me and visit me and take vengeance on me, for me, on my persecutors. In your forbearance, take me not away. Know that for your sake I bear reproach. And so he was a very persecuted man as well. But he says in verse 16, he says, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I'm called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So let's stop there. It's kind of a strange a strange phraseology that he uses here. But he says here, your words were found and I ate them. Now, basically, one of the things that we need to understand is that meditating and spending time with the Bible is a very, very important activity. It's a very, very important activity. And I want to give you some reasons why. Now, Jeremiah here says that the words of God became a joy to him. Now, he was a pretty depressed guy. And I would venture to say, if I asked a question here about who here has gone through any sort of depression, you'd probably find and be surprised at the amount of people here, and even as we sit here, are going through maybe a difficult time. Maybe they're feeling down. Maybe they are feeling depressed for this reason or that reason. It could be a multitude of things. Maybe you're not, and thank God for that. But if you are, I just want you to understand that the Word of God speaks to our hearts, and it can result in joy. And Jeremiah recognized that it really was a place where God's words were a source of joy for him. And he says, I ate them. Okay, I ingested them. I took them in. You know, what it is that you know, you and I can look at a food item and we can say, boy, that looks good. But you will not know what it tastes like unless you eat it, right? You can describe what it looks like. You can describe how it smells. You can describe, you know, what some of the ingredients are. But if you don't take what God's word is into your heart and life, you will never know what it's really like. So as you know, one of the fundamental things in my preaching is that I always like to make sure that all of you here have been able to understand God's word and take it in. And that means that you have allowed God's word to do something in your life. Now, spiritually, that means that God's words have touched you in such a way that you have reacted to it, you've responded to it. Because otherwise, you're just like that person that looks at the food item and can describe it, can look at it, but you can't really understand it until you experience it, and you're not able to enjoy it and allow its nutrients to truly bless your life. You can look at a beautiful orange, but if you don't take that orange, you know, and eat it, you don't, you know, if you've never had it, you don't understand. I remember my wife telling me that when she was 26 years old, or 25, 26 years old, that was the first time she ever tasted strawberries in her life. She never knew what strawberries tasted like because in Albania, they just didn't import them. And they didn't have them, didn't grow them. And she'd never tasted them. She was, and it was something that she had seen in pictures. She had heard about them. She'd seen it actually on television, but she'd never tasted them herself. Then she could tell you whether she liked them or not, whether she enjoyed them or not. And as God's word, we take it in. And as that Jeremiah says this, he says, your words became a joy, became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. And he says, for I'm called by your name. What does that mean? You see, what it is that he not only took in God's word, but he believed it and trusted it. So I want to ask you today, do you believe and trust God's word? First of all, do you know that he loves you? Do you know that he sent his son to give his life so that you could be forgiven your sins and have eternal life as you have trusted and believed that he died upon the cross for your sins? You see, that's taking God's God at his word and taking it in and allowing it to truly transform you from the inside. That's what it is. And that's why Jeremiah could say, I am called by your name. What it is that the moment that you trust and believe in Jesus Christ and he places his spirit in you, you become a child of God. You are called by his name. His righteousness becomes your righteousness. You're accepted in him. You become part of the family of God. You become, and that's why I can go up to any one of my friends here that are Christians and I can say, hey, brother, hey, sister. You know, that's not just a, you know, oh, that's just a religious term. No, it's actually fact. There's a beauty about it. We're family. And you know, there's lots of room in the family. And what a great Thanksgiving it would be that if you do not believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, that you would become part of the family of God today. We invite you to that. Now let's carry on. So as we meditate upon God's word, we can understand some things. Now, I want you to understand that very often we can seem some aspects of God in nature. That's true, right? We can see the mountains and we can see the his creation. But we would never look at an oak tree or we would never look at a butterfly and know that God is holy from looking at that item, right? You understand what I'm saying? Never from nature itself can you understand the holiness of God. You can appreciate the creation of God, but you can never understand the holiness of God from that. We could never know what the Lord Jesus did to redeem by hiking the Grand Canyon. You can appreciate the Grand Canyon, but there's nothing in the Grand Canyon that'll say Jesus redeemed you. No, that only happens from one source and one source alone, and that's God's word. The only way you will understand God's redemptive story or God's holiness or the fact that he's sovereign and loving is really only from the word of God. So if someone says to you, I want God, but I don't want his book, I don't want his source, then you're going to lose out. Because this is where you're really going to get the transformational power of Christ. Why? Well, there's millions and millions and billions of people that walk upon the face of the earth that enjoy God's nature and they enjoy God's oxygen and they enjoy God's balance of how he created the world, but they don't enjoy and appreciate and love God. The only way is by allowing his transformational word to change your life. And that's why a spiritual discipline is allowing God through his word to infiltrate and teach you in your life. Now, there's two forces in our world that shape our thinking. Looking at Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1 says this. It says, blessed is the man. And now, I always want to make sure that especially if you don't come to church or you don't read the Bible on a regular basis, in the word man in the Bible, it's a generic term, okay? It's a generic term. Basically, it's to deal with mankind, okay? So, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So there's two forces in our world that shape our thinking. The first one is the counsel of the world. That's what it's telling us here. It says, blessed is the person who does not follow the counsel of the world. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you looked for advice? I had a friend of mine out of the blue, or a guy that I know, phone me for some advice yesterday. And it kind of surprised me. Now, giving counsel to someone is not an easy thing because, there's a lot at stake sometimes when you're giving advice because it can shape the way they think. It can actually shape even their whole life. It's a very important thing to be able to give proper counsel. And if you allow God's word to come into your life, and as you disseminate the counsel, as you give out that counsel, it really can shape a direction. And that's why we have always, even with our kids and even with some of you, I pray to God that He'll give me the wisest words when I'm asked any sort of advice. And the difference between you and me is experience. That's it. And so sometimes I'm able to give counsel based on experience, but also I believe that the foundational part of counsel and advice in the world that we live in today is based on God's word, because there are two forces out there that can shape our thinking: the world, the flesh, and the devil. But when we make God's word our delight, and we meditate upon it day and night, we will have godly counsel and advice in our life. And hopefully, that will be a foundation for you. So I just wanted to go over those points again on a spiritual discipline, on meditating on God's word. First of all, it'll be a wise counsel towards becoming a believer, salvation. Believe the word of God when He said, I love you, I gave my son for you. He's not saying those things because it's just the right thing to say. It's because it's fact. And then the word of God can also be transformational for you as a believer because it'll shape the way you think, and it'll give direction to your life. Now, let's go on to the next one, giving thanks. Now, giving thanks to God is, you might say, well, I give thanks to God every day. And that's one of the things that is part of the Christian faith. It's part of our prayers on a consistent basis. And I really urge you to develop that particular part of your life with regard to gratitude. How do we do that? Well, for us that are parents, what are some of the things that we do, especially with the young children, right? A young child gets up from the table, and what do we get them to say? We often will tell our child, say thanks to mom or say thanks to dad for preparing the meal. Or if you're visiting at someone's house, to say thank you. Or when someone gives them a gift or someone does something for them, we train up our child in the proper way. The Bible tells us, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. You can tell a child that has been well trained and well taught. But there are lots of people today who are very ungrateful. You do something for them, they just walk away as if it's an expectation. God desires for us to have hearts that are grateful. I want to ask you this question. Are you a grateful person today? Are you thankful? Do you express it? Because very often we become very sort of desensitized to what it is to be a truly grateful individual. Now, in the light of the fact that it's a spiritual discipline, I'd like us to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is the final part of this particular letter that was written, and it really is ultimately a benediction. But there's some very short little phrases in this particular passage. Let's start from verse 16. It says, "Rejoice always." Okay, pray without ceasing. And then it says in verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, you might say, well, I don't know, I had a pretty lousy week, or I had a lousy experience, or, you know, I had a car accident this week, or whatever, and I'm supposed to give thanks in all circumstances. Well, you know, we need to always identify what our circumstances are, right? There's some circumstances that are brought on by ourselves. You know, if you've been speeding, you got a ticket, you know, and say, oh, I'm giving thanks in all circumstances. Nah, you know what? You got caught speeding, and so you're getting a ticket. Sorry, that doesn't work, you know. Or say, well, I got an F on my test, but and you ask, did you study? Well, no. Well, there, you know, I give thanks in all circumstances. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about when you failed to accomplish something or do something, you know, and it went sideways on you. What it's talking about here is when there's circumstances that sometimes are, you know, without, we may have done something with a good heart and a good motive, and it was misinterpreted. Or you did something, or you are in a situation where someone totally and completely misunderstood what you said or what you tried to do for them. And the list goes on. That's what it's saying. And even sometimes when there are external forces, it's very difficult sometimes to give thanks. I've mentioned it before, and if you ever get a chance to read the story of Corrie ten Boom, Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch lady in Holland during the World War II, and she and her family were followers of Christ, and they hid people they hid Jews in a special spot in their home, and they provided meals for them. And then one day they were arrested, and they were taken. And they were taken to a concentration camp. Their father, an older gentleman, died in the concentration camp. And then she and her sister were taken to the concentration camp as well. And there they lived throughout that time. And Corrie was angry. She was angry at the Nazi guards. And she was angry at the way everything was. And her sister had brought in a Bible. But her sister was a woman of true grace and true gratitude. And she would turn everything, and she would be the person that would give thanks in all circumstances. And she led many of those women that were in prison with them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book is called The Hiding Place, if you're ever looking for that. And it's actually a movie was made out of it a number of years ago. Very good. And I would highly recommend it. But her sister died in the concentration camp, but she was a grateful woman. And Corrie learned from that. And she came out and lived a life devoted to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and traveled. This short little woman, she traveled all over the world. And she was a minister of grace and compassion. Why? Because by the end of her life, or through that experience, she understood to give thanks in all circumstances. Are you a person that gives thanks in all the circumstances? Now, what we can appreciate about God is that in all circumstances, I believe this, and I want to encourage you that as we read the Word of God, we can truly say that God is so sovereign over all things. He is wise. And those are things that are very difficult at times for each and every one of us to understand. Now, I believe that He is in control of all things, and that nothing happens unless He allows it. I do believe that in our lives. Even sometimes the way that He teaches us from our own improper behavior or our own mistakes, God takes your mistakes and He teaches you from them. Here's a case in point. Okay? The children of Israel, as they traveled in the wilderness, okay? Now, for 40 years, they traveled around in the wilderness. Moses had led them out of slavery in Egypt. They'd gone through the Red Sea. They'd seen God do marvelous things. And then Moses sent the spies, the 12 spies, up to the land of Canaan, the land that they were supposed to go. So they were supposed to cross the Red Sea, take a left turn, and go north. And what happened was that the spies came back. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, "It's awesome. The land is beautiful. They use the words, it's flowing with milk and honey." And they brought back evidence of the fact that God had blessed them with this land, just as they had thought it would be. But the other 10 spies, they looked at it and they went, "No way, man. You gotta see these cities. They're fortified. The people are huge. It's insurmountable." And what happened was the children of Israel went and they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness until that generation had died off, except for those two men and their families. Sad. But what did God do? Even in those circumstances, God dealt with them. He still gave them water. He still gave them shade. He still gave them protection at night. He still gave them food in the morning and in the evening. He gave them so many things. He gave them even a way to worship. He gave them this thing called the tabernacle, and he gave them all the specific ways that they were to build the furniture and how they were supposed to do all the rituals so that they could remain in a relationship with God. He even gave them a list of commandments that would guide their life. He gave them spiritual disciplines, even though that they had completely and totally rejected the guidance of God. God is sovereign over all. And believe me, it's something that has been tested time and time and time again by individuals, not only in the scriptures, but even people that have lived lives devoted to God. Think of a guy named William Tyndale. William Tyndale was the first individual who translated the scriptures to the English language. You know what happened to William Tyndale? He died at the stake. He gave his life up just for that. And I ask myself, you know, would we give thanks to God in all circumstances? I mean, he did something incredibly good, trying to bring the Bible and the understanding of God to the masses. You know, it was supposed to stay in a certain framework. You see, God wants to take certain aspects of infrastructure in our lives, and he wants us to be disciplined and understand who he is in a much better way. Are you grateful for that? Are you thankful for that? That's the question that we have today. Now, we know that we don't have to turn there, but Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, God says there, "All things work together for good for them that love God." Now, we don't have to thank God for pain or tragedy. Okay? But we can thank him that even in the midst of very difficult and horrible circumstances, he loves us. And that somehow God will work all things for our good. That might mean that there is cancer or some sort of difficulty that you're facing. It might mean that you know, someone might lose their job. In all those circumstances, you know, it's difficult. What we can be thankful for is, God, I'm open to be taught through this. It's lousy when things go wrong and things go bad, but we can be thankful. Now, one of the things that we can be thankful for is when God does bless us, right? We sometimes, you know, can forget God when things are going well, when we have lots of money. Last night I was at an engagement party. It's a beautiful home, our friends, and it's their son that's getting married, and he's a really great guy, nice girl. I mean, you know, the aesthetics of last night were amazing. I mean, the house is absolutely spectacular. You know, it has a beautiful swimming pool. It's overlooking out towards the ferries, you know, in Tawasin, up on the English Bluff. It's absolutely spectacular. And everyone was there. They were all dressed nicely, and lots of you know, people that we know, and it's our community where our friends, our kids have their friends, and that's why we were invited. But there was one thing, you know, that I was so disappointed, is that there was no acknowledgement of the goodness of God. No prayer. Nothing. Now, I'm not saying they had to have like a big church service and, you know, a half hour, you know, 3-point sermon or anything like that. There was no, that's not necessary. What I'm talking about is a stopping and just saying, hey, we want to pray a blessing on this couple. They're, you know, they're professing Christians. There was just no acknowledgement of God. And it broke my heart. You see, sometimes when life is good, we forget God. Maybe life is really good for you. Maybe you got a whole, you know, pretty decent job. Maybe you have a lovely wife or husband, or maybe you have a, you know, nice girlfriend, or maybe things are going well, or in a lot of ways. Make sure that you stop and are grateful for who God is, what he's done for you, and the blessings you have in your life. You see, that is a spiritual discipline. When we stop and we say, I discipline myself to acknowledge the goodness of God in my life, it's very important. It's very important also to give thanks to God every day. Let's go over to Psalm 100. It isn't just a one-time event. This Psalm 100 is one of the shorter psalms, and it's only 5 verses, so we'll read it. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. All the earth serve the Lord with gladness. Come to his presence with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. There's so much there that the psalmist is writing, and he's saying, these are the things that we should be grateful for. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. And what does it say? It doesn't say give thanks to him. That's it. No, it says bless his name. There's an acknowledgement of the goodness and the greatness of God. Now, what we do in our lives is the most important thing, is that we always should be grateful in everything that God does for us. Now, one of the things that, and I just want to take a look at another part of my notes, is that some of the things that we should be grateful for, and I just want us, just as we close, to look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Just want us to take a look at a couple verses here as we close. Verses 12 to 14. It says, they're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Ultimately, that's where your gratitude should be focused upon. And my gratitude as well. The Apostle Paul here writes, and I want to just point out a couple of things as we close. And if you want to write them down, you can do that. First of all, as we see here, he uses the word qualified. Verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He's qualified you. What does qualify mean, right? Well, to qualify, for example, someone who's going to get a mortgage, right? That's a good feeling when you qualify, right? Your credit score is pretty good and you qualify to get a mortgage. That's a good thing, right? It's, you know, when you're in your late teens and early 20s and, you know, you're getting out of school and you get a credit card, that means you qualify because you've shown yourself responsible to get a credit card, right? There's lots of ways that we can quantify or describe that word qualify. But here, we're qualified, it says there, to share in the inheritance. To share in the inheritance. Verse 12, again. To share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that he's delivered us from the domain of darkness, it says. That's the second thing that you and I can be thankful for. We're qualified to share in the inheritance. We no longer belong to the domain of darkness. When Jesus died on the cross, he broke through all the sin and all the shame and all the garbage that is accompanying a life that is devoted towards the kingdom of darkness. He's given us this opportunity. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness. And then because of that, he's transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. He's transferred us. Now, what does a transfer mean? It means that it's from one place to another. It's like a debit and a credit, right? You owe something. It's a great feeling when you can, you know, you go online into your bank or you go into your bank and you go, I have this debt and I'm going to pay it, right? And you transfer from one account to the other, and even though that might be a savings account, you no longer have a debt. And it's a good feeling. You transfer. We've been transferred, it says there, us into the kingdom of his Son. And the final thing is that he's redeemed us, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Those are the things that we need to be thankful for. So I want to ask you today, this is part of our study, the spiritual disciplines. The next one we're going to talk about is prayer. But the spiritual discipline of giving thanks is not just something that you do automatically. It's something that you understand the reason why. And here in Colossians chapter 1, it's given us some really clear understanding. And I just want to encourage your hearts. God does work things all together for good. He's sovereign and he's good. Give thanks in all circumstances. And he will truly provide you the grace to be grateful when things are good. But he'll also provide you the grace and the humility to be grateful when things are at a lower ebb. You see, Jeremiah, he knew all about a depressed life. He understood it. And he says, that's where my joy, that's where my strength comes from. And day and night, I'm gonna lock in and I'm going to be grateful for God because his word touches my heart. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love and your grace. Be with us now as we go into our time of prayer and then into Sunday school. We pray that it would be a good time together. And thank you, God, for your love and your grace and your kindness to us. You are so good. And we praise you and we worship you this morning. Be with each one here. Lord, may we all enjoy Thanksgiving, but to get to the deeper root of what we should be grateful for, help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.